I said the Lord is good. I like to hear it. So say the Lord is good. No, I said say the Lord is good. Amen. All right. Now let's kick on into our study for today. You know, sometimes when I sit down, I'm contemplating. I won't tell you some things I contemplate, all right? They are personal. And sometimes they are public, but I don't know. I just realized that indeed God has plotted to do something. And I, as a person, I am key to what God is doing. Now, that applies to you also. Do you understand my point? It depends on how you have chosen, okay, to relate with God. What I'm trying to say is that I have thought about it and I realized that it's not me or you that's planning anything. What's actually happening is that God is fitting us into what he had planned beforehand. So as you have, or as you commit yourself to him, he finds your place for you. Do you get what I'm trying to say? So you will discover that people that God, the people that will help you become what God wants you to be, were there before you got there. The reason being that the structure was planned before you. You came in and took your own place. One of the things you will find very important that you must discover as a believer is that there is no occasion for pride. You are not more important than anybody else as a person. What you are doing may appear more important, you know, than what somebody else is doing, but you as a person, you are not more important. Somebody else would have done that thing as well as you, in quotes, if you didn't do it. I don't know whether what I'm saying is making sense. Sometimes I sit and I contemplate. I have realized that God has a mission on the earth today, and what he goes around doing is looking for people that will agree to work with him. Jesus said, pray like this. Pray to the Father that he will send laborers into the harvest field. That is, the harvest field was ripe before you came. You did not prepare the harvest field. Do you get my point? It's just that you came as a laborer. So you discover that things have been planned. And that's, you see, you must realize that that's how life is. Okay? Things were planned before you came. And because you agreed to work with God, God just fitted you into your proper place. And the danger, the mistake a lot of people make, how they hinder God's working on their behalf, all right, is when they don't realize that fact. They think that they need to be smart. Let me give you an example. I don't know, you know, I'm always talking about economic matter because of Nigerian issues. Maybe a man has heard me preach on radio as an example, or heard somebody else preaching the kind of message that I'm preaching, and he so, therefore believes that maybe I would say that, look, there is nothing that you see anywhere in the world that God cannot do in your life, even though you are in Nigeria. So he thinks that it's now time to scheme and bring forth great ideas from inside him and start networking with people so as to make those things come to pass and occasionally break a few rules as long as we, you know, we do what God wants to do in this generation. Really, that's not what God is saying. The fact is that the ideas that are needed were there before you came. I was preaching in church on Sunday that this is a matter of fact, that the plan, listen to this, the plan for uninterrupted power supply in Nigeria was already drawn by God before power failure began. I don't know whether you get my point. It was drawn. It has been drawn. It's on paper. When I say paper, spiritually is on the papyrus of heaven. I know what I'm saying. No, you know there's paper in heaven. It may not be our kind of paper, but there's paper. There are books. Volumes were bound in heaven. Books that have seals, they exist in heaven. Plans are, look, God will sit down and tell somebody, write. The beautiful thing about things, the books in heaven, is that they are nutritious. You can eat them and you get this. You can take a book in heaven, eat it, and the spirit of the letters will enter into your flesh. There are books in heaven. Believe what I'm saying. They are there. Okay? God wrote those things before you and I came on the scene. So what is he waiting for? He's waiting for somebody who will think like he's thinking, and then he will give the plan into the person's heart. Are you getting my point? Now, Nebuchadnezzar, what happened to him? After God's plan in heaven was shown in his life, he built Babylon. He now looks at, is this not Babylon the Great that I have built with the strength of my might for the glory of my majesty? Because, yea, while I'm still alive, that statement must not go unpunished. Do you follow my point? What was God trying to do? He wanted to show him that, boy, it's not you. There's nothing, you know, about you in this matter. It's a plan. He said, before you came on the scene, I planned it. What the nations you're overcoming, I weakened them first. That's what God told him. I first go out and I weaken the nations. One of the things I want believers to get is the fact that you are not struggling by your strength. If you can settle down and agree with God, conceive God's idea, There is nothing that is impossible if you can believe it. I preached that message in church on Sunday morning. If you can believe something, there's nothing that is impossible. The reason being that it is not you that wants to do it. Please, I don't know what I'm saying is making sense to you. No, you're not the one that's going to do it. The doing of it was planned before you came. The NASA is very good. It's like they want to act a movie. They've written the script. You get what I'm saying? The script has been written. So, Ramsey Noah. So I always think that lover boys are very silly people. When I was young, I disliked Indian movies. The only ones I enjoyed, no, really, I disliked them. The only ones I enjoyed were Shole and I Die for Mama, the Burning Train. Things where I'm shooting somebody. All those ones that her father didn't want her mother to marry his sister. What is it? I want to start singing. I get put off. Nothing bad about it, though. I have grown up to realize that people are just different. All right? Those days, I love mafia movies, war films, you know, things. I don't know where I'm just violent against the devil in my heart. Once you are talking to my story. Anyway, this is what I'm making. So let's assume that Ramsey Noah found Genevieve somewhere. And he's a very poor boy, and Genevieve is a very, very rich girl. Do you get my point? At the beginning of the script, they have written. So at the end of the day, the two of them are going to marry and live happily ever after. Do you understand? He said, yes. So Ramsey Noah start as a poor boy. That is, no matter what you want to do, you are going to marry Genevieve at the end of the day. And the two of you will live happily ever after. Everything that will make it possible has been written into the script. If you want to marry that girl in that movie, just take the role. I don't know whether you heard me. Once you are the one that's taking that role, that you will marry Genevieve at the end of the day. There's no how you won't marry Genevieve. Because the script was written before you came on the scene. In fact, they wrote the script first and started looking for who looks like a lover boy that can act this part. Do you get what I'm making? The connections needed to bring forth God's results on the earth were prepared before you agreed to take the role. Do you follow what I'm saying? That is why I say it all boldly. If you're a business person, don't leave your phone on at night because you never can tell when they will call. If they won't call by the time your phone goes off, too bad. They have to call in the morning. That's why I don't believe in opportunity comes but once. It's a lie. Opportunity that comes and doesn't come back was not your own. If it's yours, it will come. Find that you've traveled. It either chase you down to where you travel to or it will come back when you come back. That opportunity comes but once is a lie. Please hear me. It's what? A lie. Opportunity doesn't come but once. Because each opportunity has a name on it. Before it left heaven, they labeled it. This is Olusemeka's opportunity. Go down and see Olusemeka. The opportunity is labeled. It doesn't just come down and change his mind. Say, well, since you know, sometimes people say that it sees the moment. Make sure you are there on time. Listen. That's when you are struggling to play a role that's not your own. Do you follow the point I'm making? If Ramsey Noah comes late, they've started shooting the movie, the Noah comes late, what will happen? They will wait now that, okay, the man playing this role is not around. Let's shoot some other scenes that doesn't involve him. When he gets back, we will shoot the one that involves him. That's just the way it works. What am I saying? That the plan of God concerning your life was written. No, it's not imagined. It's what? Written. It's written, documented in heaven. What God does, which is the wisdom of God, is bring you in to fit your role. And once you are playing your role, every other person that's involved is compelled to play his role. I don't know whether you get my point. Look, that's how God does it. If you are the one, as far as God is concerned, you are key. Once you are key, once you are inside there, you are key in what he wants to do. And it compels other people to play their role. That's the way it works. So that's why, look, as a businessman, you want to sleep, quench the phone. All that nonsense. Quench the phone. How should somebody be waking up with business at 2 a.m.? All that nonsense. He said, look, oh boy, I'm sleeping. It's my sleeping time. Told my wife recently. I said, look, there are days you must not do business. Even if they call you and say, please, I want to buy. They say, I don't do business on certain days. I said, there are seasons you must take holiday. What if business comes as period? I'm sorry, it's not my business. If it can't wait till I get back, it's not mine. You get my point? You know me. I mean, there are seasons that I don't take preaching engagements. Usually, of course, it can change, but usually it's December. But for whatever it is, I take 1 month on which I'm not taking it. Look, you can't come and pass it, please now. Somebody say, and listen to me. Listen now clearly. You know, there are people who are begging, say, door, God, please open door. I want to go and preach abroad. Do you know, I've never understood that prayer point. I've never understood the prayer point. What is the thing about preaching abroad? That, is it because they give big money when you get there? Let's tell the truth. You know, that's actually the major issue. That's it now. That is the thing. That's why I like Bishop Oyedepo. He gives the fattest honorarium in the world. Yes, Bishop David Oyedepo of Winners Chapel. Now, what am I trying to say? You know, it's not in geographical locations. In fact, you know, for him, it's a point he's trying to prove. Yes, for him, it's a point. It's not just about, you know, let's make sure they come. No. We want to show them that black is not lack. That's what he says. He wants to prove to you that the same God is rich unto all that call upon him because there is no difference. You get the point? He dares anybody, anywhere in the world, build the world's largest auditorium at that time in the period in which they built the one in Canaan land. Try. Now, why did I go into that? You know, I said that some people were saying, so we're talking about opportunity. Some of the reasons why they are begging for those support, because they think that if you go there, somebody will give you an honorarium in US dollars, and then it will be big money. As a person, those things have never excited me. Because it's because of understanding. As we're going on, we'll see it again. We're talking about walking in divine authority. It's because of understanding. It doesn't excite me. For me, it's the same thing. Go and preach in Malawi, or go and preach in Los Angeles, is the same thing. Because for me, it's the ministry that is the issue. Do you get my point? It's where people's lives will be touched. That's what I'm talking about. That's what concerns me as a person. Now, so I was just trying to say that. So if I'm taking my break, and somebody says, come, this preaching engagement just opened. Where is it? He said, this one is in New York. It's December. Tell them that maybe next year, December, if I'm free, they should try. If they can reschedule the meeting for January, I will take it, or November. But that period, I am on leave. Do you get what I'm making? But you understand the spirit of what I'm trying to talk about. That, see, look, quench your phone when you want to sleep. You don't need to leave it on. Those are, they can call anytime. Let them send the text. When you put it on in the morning, text will drop. You follow my point? Listen, you have great ideas. You have great dreams in life. You can't do everything by yourself. God appointed David, all right, as king. But he still made men come to make enthrone him in reality. So the men that were going to enthrone David, God appointed them. Most of them were older than him. You get my point? They were in battle before he started. David never went for any serious battle training. These guys had been trained. They had exercised themselves. They just heard that there was this guy who's anointed. That fellow who killed Goliath. Said that one, there's an anointing about him. Let's go and follow. Now listen to me. Most human beings in life are looking for who to follow. I don't know whether you got my point. Yes, they are. If I say this, it will surprise you. A lot of the so-called rich people in the world are looking for who is honest and smart that they can give. Look, this is 200 million naira. Let's do business. A beggar will stand at the window and be begging. They won't give the beggar 500 naira. And it's not ungodly. You don't think they're wicked people. No. The money is not for beggars. It's for multiplication. Do you get my point? The money is for multiplication. They are looking for people who know how to multiply it. That's why I tell brethren, look, don't worry your head begging people. If you are good, all right, if you know what you are saying and you are skilled in what you are doing, the people who need you will beg you. They will. In fact, once you are going around begging, people feel like, you know, nobody likes people like that. They are not interested. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? But if you show that you know what you are doing, you know what you are saying, you have done it before. You know the way David addressed the issue with about Goliath we saw. He said, it's Goliath, I've killed his type before. He said, what do you mean? I killed a bear. I killed a lion. I've done it before. This is the point I'm making. So that's why, please, if you have not been following what I've been saying on radio, I issue it to you today as a commandment. Please, make sure you listen to it. I've been talking about creating the opportunities for prosperity, you know, on radio. In the last, but about 14 episodes here. All right? And what I've been explaining there is that if the opportunity can be created in your heart, then the events outside will automatically respond to bring to reality the thing that's first formed inside you. That's a matter of fact. You know, I started by trying to say that, you know, we're supposed to open, sorry, that's where to open to. Okay, I didn't say it. Okay, I was just saying that when I meditate, so that's what I think about it. What I dream about, what I imagine all the time, is about spreading the preaching of the word of the kingdom. Like Paul said, we saw when we're studying on Monday, he called him my gospel, all right? Paul boldly called what he's preaching my gospel. So this is what I think about Vanke as a person. He's spreading my gospel, all right? It's the gospel of Lord Jesus Christ, the quality and type that's been committed into my mouth. He's spreading it to the ends of the earth. I've imagined all kinds of ways by which it will be propagated. And I'm sure absolutely, all right, that it will be done. Not because I alone can do it, but I know every step we get to, there are people waiting there to help us go to the next level. Because God commanded them. You know, like I said before, the same way I've been commanded to preach, somebody else has been commanded to broadcast that which I am preaching. Do you follow my point? So what I do is to exercise myself in my preaching. And the people that will carry the word to the uttermost part of the world, they will come and they will carry it. So I keep on dreaming ideas and imagining things, not allowing anything to stand as a hindrance between me and what can be done, all right? And once that thing is solidly formed in my heart, every day we will talk. We'll say 12 books are coming out this year. Watch it. By the end of November, all right, 12 books will be out. The first two are due out when? This week. Today's Saturday. Yeah, next week, you know, most certainly, all right? All things being equal, it will be definitely out this coming week. And what I'm working on is that, so as soon as we are taking delivery of that, I put the next two in. Do you understand? So my own job now is, I'm not going to print, they print. Okay? I'll just make sure that I have it finished, because I work now to make sure that the next two, they are finished. And as soon as it's coming out with the next two, I make sure the next two are going. Believe me, by December, 12 new books, 12 new books will be out of the press. I'm not talking about tiny volumes, you know, those little ones like What's God's Will Here, all those tiny, tiny, tiny ones. No, I'm talking about serious books, on the average 200 pages, each one of them, the average. Some are smaller, some are bigger. But before the end of the year, 12 of them will be out. Our first seminar is holding 26th of April. That's in Owerri. Immediately after that, we'll go to maybe Abakaliki next. Maybe after that, Oka, Asaba. We are going to go as far as Agbo. No, forget. By December, if we have to do two in a month, we'll finish 10 by the end of November. That's all I can do. That's all I can do. Do you get my point? Yes. Once I do my own portion, forget. I don't think I have to worry my head. I am absolutely certain that the people who will carry the thing. I mean, I told you about Derek Prince. That Derek Prince said he went to New Zealand and discovered that Derek Prince had been on air in New Zealand for a long time before he came. He was not aware. And if I got there and found Derek Prince New Zealand, they were about to complete registration. They just said, come and sign as the Derek Prince of Derek Prince New Zealand. He got there. Kola Woshu told us something once. He got to Liberia. Somebody told him that in Liberia, you hear what I said? In Liberia, one man will come to Kano, buy Kola Woshu tapes, go to radio station in Liberia, pay for airtime and be airing it on the radio in the morning. I mean, it was going on. He was not aware. It's not that they came to take permission. They just come buy the tape, not the word of God. I just put it in on there. Do you get the point I'm making? And I don't know why I decided to share that. Maybe it's chicken that caused it. I don't know. Somebody drew that one out of me. Amen. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. All right. Open your Bibles to the book of Isaiah chapter 2. What have I tried to explain? That God's plan was written before you came on the scene, and you are just playing your role. Sometimes when I watch things happening around me, I realize that indeed, it's not my plan. I didn't plan anything. I'm just walking into that which God has planned. Let's read again from verse 2. It said, now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow to it. Many people shall come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He said, he shall judge between the nations and rebuke many people. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. I need to read further today from verse 5. He said, O house of Jacob, come and let us walk in the light of the Lord. Please, before I read further, let me explain the principle here. Now, we have been talking about that's walking in what? Divine authority. Remember what I explained last week? Is the fact that the way God planned it, he said the heavens are the heavens of the Lord, but the earth he has given to the sons of men. That is what God wants to do is recorded in the heavens. But for his work to be effected on the earth, it must go through the sons of men. That's why he will tell you that the Lord can do nothing except he first tells his servants, the prophet. The reason being that the prophets prophesy is the prophesying of the prophets, listen, that brings legal, which word do I use now? That gives God the right, yes, that's a good word, to do what he wants to do on the earth. So the first thing God does is to persuade his prophets to speak according to what he wants to do. That's how God does it all the time. Because it's almost like just jumping into another person's house if no human being cooperates with what God wants to do. So what God wants on the earth, therefore, is first, who will go for us? Who shall we send? Do you get what I'm saying? That's how it works. Who shall we send? Who will go for us? We must have somebody that we are walking through on the earth. So the kingdom of God is going to be manifested on the earth and it's going to be perfected in men's affairs. What you will find that God must have his representatives on the earth. Last week we talked about Jesus Christ briefly, that he said that the Father does not judge any man, but he has committed all judgment into the hands of the Son. And that he said it's because he's the Son of Man. That is, it's a human being on the earth that God wants, and it trains the person, puts his power and his authority in the person's mouth. Therefore, the person will declare, knowing the way of God. Now, please get my point. It's not as if the person will just go and pray first, and God will tell him what to say. If you are confused, it's a good thing to do. If any man lacks wisdom, let him pray. Do you understand my point? Let him go and ask God. God will tell him, give him wisdom. But a day came, Elijah walked into Israel and saw the amount of idolatry that was going on. You know what he said? There will not be any rain or dew until I say so. We're not aware that God told him to say it. Nobody told us that he went to discuss with God. He just looked and he was vexed in his spirit. And as a prophet of God, he declared that there will not be any rain. What he was saying is that the Lord is not judging any man, but he has committed that judgment to the mouth of Elijah. So when Elijah said there will not be any rain, that was the end of it. You have to beg Elijah to get rain. Please, you are getting my point. So we are discussing that issue, that we need to understand what it means to walk in divine authority. Because without that, we cannot fully represent God on the earth. What God does is to give his power, his strength, his authority to people. And once the people have received that power, one thing Jesus did, you know, interesting about Jesus Christ. Please, don't forget what I said. Stop looking at him as a God before he was born and then was now walking on the earth as God with man. Now, that is correct. I'm not saying it's wrong. But if we focus on that, sometimes we forget what we can attain. But when it comes to the work of Jesus on the earth, the Bible tells us clearly that he laid aside how much of his glory? Every one of it. That is, he needed to be taught how to eat, you know, how to go about. Sometimes he will miss his way and he will stop somewhere and ask questions. Like once they came and said Lazarus was dead. He said, where have you laid him? Do you know why he asked? Because he doesn't know where he was laid. A man came and brought his son for healing. He turned to the father. He said, how long has he been like this? Do you know why he asked? Because he doesn't know how long the guy had been like that. If you go and see when he was at the age of 12, when he was in the temple, the Bible said that he was, you know, as a young person, I used to think that they said that Jesus was there arguing with the people. All right? Showing them his superior wisdom. And that will teach young people how to relate with your elders. If you are before somebody who is senior to you, stop opening your mouth to tell your own opinion. Nobody really wants to know. Really, you have to do like Elihu. You don't talk until everybody has finished talking and they are confounded. And you say, please, can I offer my wisdom? I have something to say. I thought Jesus Christ was there arguing with them. No. The Bible said that he was listening to them and he was asking them questions. That's what I'm coming to. At the age of 12, he wasn't there shouting. You guys don't know anything.
No, the Bible said that he was listening and he was doing what? Asking questions. And bring out the point that he needed to be told things. He asked them questions. They clarified things for him as he was growing. That was why he was increasing in wisdom. All right? And he was increasing in favor with God and with man. He kept on learning. He kept on getting better. And a point came in which he was fully trained that God said, "This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased." I explained that he didn't say in whom I'm well pleased because I knew him before he was born. No, it's in whom I'm well pleased because I have worked with him over these last 30 years and I can beat my chest and say boldly, "Have you considered my servant Job?" You know the way he said about Job? That, "Have you considered my servant Jesus Christ?" That's the point I'm making. So we need to understand that. Because there's something I'm saying about Jesus Christ. He had divine authority. You know what he used to do? He used to give to his disciples. Quickly open your Bibles to the book of Luke chapter 10. I want to show you something there. The way he used to do it was to give the authority to his disciples. When he wanted to go and do something, he would give them a dose of it. Hold that and do something with it. You will discover something there. That what happened was that he sent his disciples out. If you read in verse 1, he was going to come to some cities. So before that, people will go and raise the awareness that the master will be coming. So what they will do is that they will preach with the little amount of power they had. They will do some works. And they will say that all the serious preaching and the serious healing is coming after us. Do you understand my point? No, really, that's what he's saying. You read verse 1. He said, "After these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also and sent them 2 by 2 before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to go. They began to tell them things." From verse 3, he said, "Go your way. Behold, I send you out." Please notice that. He was the one sending them out. So he told them what to do. Verse 5 says, "Whenever you enter a house, say, 'Peace to this house.'" Please notice that verse 5. He said what? "Peace to this house." It was not just a greeting. Because you will see at other times, if you read further down, he will tell you that if there is a man of peace, all right, in that house, verse 6, he said, "If the son of peace is there, your peace will rest upon it." Are you getting the point? All right. And he now said that, "But if not, it will do what? It will return to you." What does that tell you? That the peace that Jesus was describing was a tangible substance. Now, get what I'm saying? It was spiritual power. What he was saying is that as I'm entering here, I am banishing every lack that will have come to this house. I am telling every spirit that will have come to disturb this house to go away. Do you get my point? I am bringing peace. The word peace there is not just about, it's not a greeting. It's a spiritual force that puts you at rest. Do you get the point I'm making? That is when it says peace upon this house, that is all the evil spirits that wanted to trouble the house, okay, they have to give way. That's why he said that if they don't receive you, if they are not worthy of the thing you want to give them, okay, don't worry, go. Your peace will return to you. It's because they have a kind of dosage of it. There's a certain amount he gave them to carry. So if you give somebody who doesn't want it, you take it back and you go away with it. Please, get what I'm trying to say. I'm bringing out a point that he used to hand authority over to his disciples. Now, what happened? Let's just continue reading. Now, he said, verse 9, "Heal the sick there." We're talking about any city you enter. "And say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.'" Now, the point I want to bring out is that word of healing the sick. What was happening? They were not doctors, you know, naturally. He didn't give them medicine, teach them methods. He gave them power to heal the sick. So if they entered the place, because they were carrying something that Jesus had, okay, then they would heal the sick. I'm bringing that a point. Now, this is the issue. What happened that he has so much spiritual substance to give out that he could give to his disciples to go out and use them on his behalf? Because you will see something, if you read when he came back in verse 17, "Then the 70 returned with joy, saying, 'Lord, even the demons were subject to us in your name.'" Demons apparently were the most difficult things to handle. They were able to heal the sick. They were able to, you know, bring peace to every home that they got into. But the most difficult things were demons. Do you get my point? And they noticed that even, that's how they use the word, even the demons were subject to us in your name. They now began to tell them about seeing things ahead of time. And that's one thing that confers authority upon you. He said, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven because I saw him." Now, please get this thing. The thing about Christianity is what you know in reality. Do you get my point? That is, you know, remember what I said earlier? That a friend of mine, they lost their son. Somebody said, "A witch killed the boy." And the lady laughed. that get the point. A witch cannot. Now, the child was dead. But the person still said boldly, a witch cannot kill my child. That it is a matter of impossibility. That is, I have seen Satan fall from heaven. Do you follow the point I'm trying to make? So, now, you see, I said something. That's where we ended before we went into this walking divine authority. That is what is called judging with divine judgment. Having divine perspective about everything. Because we're going to get down to this, you know. I don't know whether it's the right time to quickly start talking about it now. But what I want to bring out is this issue. Jesus said, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. They said in verse 19, that's where I was going actually. He said, behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents. That is because of what I have seen. Get what I'm saying? Because of that, a certain kind of authority has been delivered to me. So everywhere you go in my name, the power of the vision that I have will give you authority also. Please, you know, why did I build all of these things up? I want us to understand that Jesus, he did not come down as with divine power at birth, and then he's doing things that you and I can never do. That's not the point. He came down empty, having laid aside his glory. Then he began to be trained by God the Father. That's why he's called the Son of God. That is, he's the Son of God in heaven. And he took it as a personal responsibility to train and to educate him. And as a consequence of that, he reached a point in which God was proud of him and he could boast about him. Please, I want you to understand this issue. That it was something that he attained as a product of walking with God on the earth, which means that you and I also can attain the same thing if we would do exactly the way he did. And I bring out one point here. That one of the things that he had to learn was to start seeing from God's angle, not from the human angle. He said, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. That is, anyone who has seen Satan fall will never be afraid of the power of Satan. Are you getting my point? And that is what we are preaching. I've told you before that this is my job. Say to the cities of Zion, behold your God. Say to the cities of Zion, see Satan, it has fallen. Because when the people understand that Satan indeed, he has fallen, then they will never be afraid of his powers. Please, get the point. He said, I saw Satan. I beheld Satan falling. And once you have seen that Satan has fallen, then automatically you have power over all his works. That's what I want you to understand. Look, this is the job that I'm doing. And this is what your assignment as a believer. My job is to teach and show you exactly what God has written down. The realities about the spiritual realm. Look, let me give you an example. Remember the story now, when Elisha was sitting down, and the king sent that the army should go and bring Elisha because he had been leaking the secrets of their plans. That the Syrian king, he had been leaking the secrets to the king of Israel. So he now said, well, the servant got up one morning to go and fetch water. As he came out of the city, what did he see? He saw soldiers, Syrian soldiers, all right, all over the place. And he was hearing them saying, where is the prophet? We want him. And so the guy ran back inside. He said, alas, my master, how shall we do? Like he says in King James, what are we going to do about this matter? And the man just kept on reclining. Maybe he was meditating, you know, chewing something in the morning. He just did like nothing was going on. And the guy kept on troubling him. Alas, my master, what are we going to do? He said, dear Lord, so that this boy will leave me alone. Please, let me have some peace of mind. Open his eyes. Please, are you getting the point I'm making? Now, of course, when the guy, when his eyes were open, he saw that in reality, what his master said was correct. Those who are on our side are more than those who are against us. Now, if you see that kind of thing, will you still be terrified? You know, this afternoon, I saw something, a kind of documentary, and it interested me again because, you know, I like things like that because it shows that spiritual things are real. We're not fooling ourselves. There's this guy, his name is Gilbert something. He's from, I think, Burundi. Gilbert, he's a Tutsi. Remember that Tutsi-Hutu war of that time? And the guy was, this is a real story. I was watching it. He's going for the next Olympics, a long-distance runner. He was a young boy, a teenager. He was a runner in his school. They knew him that he could run. In fact, he said that they were deliberately gunning for him because they knew that if he escaped, he was fast enough to run and go and get help. But this is the point. They gathered him and all his tribesmen in that school and around, told them that, do you want to die inside the house or you want to die outside? That they were, what they were doing was to paralyze the people, throw them into a building and set the building on fire. You know? He said, after he entered the place, he said, number one, they singled him out. Now, please, there's something I'm going to. And after he entered the inside that place, he wanted to die. Now, get what I'm saying? He wanted to die. He said he jumped down with his head onto the concrete floor so that he would die before these people can kill him. He didn't die. He said that he heard a voice very loud and very clear saying something like, don't worry, nothing will happen. Ah. He said he heard that thing the first time. Then he now knows, he said, as a young boy, you don't listen to your parents. They tell you, don't go here, you go there. That everybody will go to church, he wouldn't go to church. So he now remembered and started praying. He said, God, please forgive me. And then he heard the voice again, loud and clear. Don't worry, nothing will happen. Anyway, they set the building on fire. He said, after he prayed that prayer and heard that voice, he said, suddenly he looked to his left and his right. It's as if there were open doors in both places. In which direction would he run? Whether it was a spiritual thing or a physical one, I don't know. Okay, just once I heard it. He said, but he said, because he had been watching movies as a child. Chuck Norris, he mentioned the name Chuck Norris. So he picked one of the people that were already dead on the floor and used the person's body to break a window open. And the Hutus were outside, you know, dancing and rejoicing. Said they were drunk, you know, they were there. Said he came out and nobody saw that he had come out. That it took them like 15 seconds before they realized that he was. I said he was on fire anyway, he was on fire. The guy talking was on fire. Now, get what I'm saying. What struck me was when he said he heard that voice. Tell him, don't worry, nothing will happen. Of course, he came out, and then he began to run. He ran, and he was saved. Now, he's there. You know, he's telling us the story. That's how come he was saved. And just to add this part of the story to it, the guy interviewing him said that, have you ever had the chance to meet any of those your attackers since then? He said, oh, yes. That one day, he was coming, he came out from a bus. He was walking on the street. He had a 9mm pistol beside him. And he saw the man who engineered the whole thing. The guy was walking there. He said when the guy saw him, he first fell down because he thought he was dead. He said he whipped out his gun, pointed at the guy, and said, you wanted to kill me. He said, right now, I am still alive. Pointed at that guy. After a while, he shook his head and said, look, I forgive you. Put the gun back and let the guy go. He said, after that day. Now, the CNN man explained that part. He didn't understand the spiritual aspect. You know, I tell you, I listen to things with spiritual ears. And you know, he's seeing with spiritual eyes. After that day was when doors began to open for him. What the guy now preaches now is forgiveness. He's going to the next Olympics. He's a long-distance runner. He's going to run this thing. In fact, I mean, you see him, they still show all the burn scars all over his body. He just looked, looked at the guy and said, no, I won't kill you. You can go. He said that for him, that was the hardest thing he had to do. That was the most difficult thing he had to do. Now, let me just emphasize on my point there. He said he heard the voice saying, don't worry, nothing will happen. They set him on fire. He tried to kill himself. I told you, the death is not an accident. He deliberately wanted to kill himself. Then he said, sorry, I don't have power over you right now. A voice from heaven has said, nothing will happen. No, he said he climbed and jumped headlong onto a concrete floor so that he might die. Nothing happened. Doors opened for him. The attackers were outside. They didn't see that he broke the window loudly and crawled out from that window. And they did not notice. He had been out for about 15 seconds, having a 15-second, you know, lead over them before they realized that, hey, look at that guy, he's out. Of course, he was a good runner. They couldn't catch him. A voice had said what? Nothing will happen. Now, are you getting the point I'm making? Now, this is the thing about Christianity. It is waging war from the vision of the end result. Are you getting my point? That you know the way it will end. I like what the Miles Monroe said once. Now, that made meaning to me because before then, I've been to places where people would tell you the advancements that the Mormons are making. You know the Mormons? Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. They will tell you the advancements that Islam is making. How they are buying churches all over England and all over Europe, and the advancements they are making in evangelism. How many new Muslims, people are being converted to Islam? Miles Monroe said, at the end of the day, he said, go and read the conclusion. Did you see Islam mentioned anywhere in the book of Revelation? He said, listen, the other one is demonstration. At the end of the day, they will still vanish away. That is, from we understand the end from the beginning. Are you getting my point? Therefore, you are not afraid when you see the turmoil. So Islam is making advancements. The Bible said one thing clearly. You've heard me say it. You can never prove God wrong. He said, of the increase of his government and of peace, there shall be no end. Which means that any other person that wants to increase, you know what the way John said it? They must decrease, that he might increase. Do you understand my point? There's no story you want to tell me. We are increasing. There's no story you want to tell. We are increasing. Remember what I've been mentioning again and again in the last few weeks about power problem in Nigeria? People say the thing is so bad, nothing can be done. Then we found out that actually, you know, because I've always believed that, you see, what you need is divine wisdom. And that wisdom was recorded before you came on the scene. God does not need your brain to devise a good solution. He needs a brain that can receive the solution that he has devised. Do you get my point? Listen, Joseph was a man who could interpret dreams and see the mind of God about how to solve problems. No, you must understand, Daniel was not a smart fellow in the way you talk about smartness. He was a man who could interpret dreams and ask God to show him the things that are about to come. I said something about prayer. Let me tell you, you cannot pray effectively except you understand the end of a matter. Did you hear what I said? You cannot pray effectively until you have insight into what God's plan is for the end of the matter. Otherwise, know what you are doing? You are just boxing. You know? Shadow boxing. You are punching the air. You don't have a serious target. You must have a focus concerning what you are. Otherwise, just go there and worship God and fellowship with the Lord. Father, I thank you. Thank you for what he has done in the past. If you don't know what he's going to do tomorrow, believe me. Father, I thank you. Because I would have died, but you raised me up. I was blind, now I see. I was confused, now I have direction. Lord, I thank you. In the name of Jesus, I thank you. As for this matter, I commit it into your hands. Father, I thank you. Don't say anything, because you don't know anything. Do you get the point I'm trying to make? But like I said the other time, once you have been in the presence of the Word of God and the Spirit of God has been breathing inside you, then you suddenly begin to have ideas. And those ideas, I said, they are the ideas of God that he's releasing, seeing whether you can believe it. Once you have one that you can believe, then don't let it go. That's what you used to pray. Do you get what I'm making? That is what you used to pray. No matter how wrong things are going. You see, one of the things, you know, I said something some time ago. Let me just use to explain again. If you see those who have traveled abroad, you know, they left Nigeria and they went abroad. Generally speaking. The people who do best amongst them, if you group them, all right, are the medical professionals. Now, listen to this. It is not because they are smarter than other people. No. Now, there's a reason. I want to explain something to you. It is because, generally, the structure of those countries, all right, gives them vision. Listen to me. That is the only thing. The structure of the country gives them what? Vision. The man, before he leaves Nigeria, he tells you that there are three steps of USMLE to be taken. That's the United States licensing. They have their foreign medical licensing exam you have to do. If you studied abroad, you have to take some exams to allow you practice in the United States. Now, two of those exams can be taken out of the country. So before a man leaves Nigeria, he has been to Ghana twice to go and take the exam. Most sensible people, they won't leave this country. He has won lottery, he's supposed to go abroad. If he's supposed to take effect from 2010, by this year, he's beginning to read for USMLE. Step one. Step two. He's reading. Now, by the time he's getting there, instantly, what are you going to do, sir? There is a step three I'm supposed to take. I need this amount of time to prepare for it. No matter how hard things are, he looks for a job that allows him time to prepare for it. Do you get my point? Better for him if he has somebody to just lend him money for a while, to prepare for that examination. He's just focused on one thing. As soon as he's passed the exam, he submits his course and waits to get a job. He starts attending interviews here and there. If you tell him that, look, we can sell cars, export cars to Nigeria, he'll tell you wait. If you tell him that, look, well, you know, we can buy this kind of equipment and export, he'll tell you wait. If then these are the kind of business you can do, he tells you, wait. Wait for what? Let me finish this, my prayer program. Now, so at the end of the day, he fits into a relatively high level in the society there. Now, what am I trying to do? Is it because he has a good degree? That's what human beings will tell you. But the Bible says that the things that are seen were not made out of the things that are what? Visible. What is invisible there? Let me show you. The things that brought him what looks like apparent material success is vision from the beginning, which you can see. You can see the certificate. But what that certificate gave him is actually what? Vision. But please, you've listened to me. The point is that that is not the only thing in life that can give you vision. The issue is that the society draws that vision for most people. If you will draw a vision for yourself, you know, and look, an average engineer gets there. He tells that nobody wants a Nigerian-trained engineer, and nobody wants him. Do you get my point? A lawyer gets there and says that you can't fit into the American legal system, and he never fits. They are professionals. Are you getting my point? Everybody gets there. They can't look. The issue is that things around give them a different kind of vision. But what they don't understand that it usually will come to them as they have believed. Are you getting my point? Therefore, if a man with no qualification whatsoever were to step into that country and also have a vision. Now, let me tell you something about vision. I'm not talking about dreaming a wild dream. Oh, just sleep. Say, wow, we can rule this country. One day we'll be the president. That's not what I mean. That's not what I mean. Now, if you can conceive that, because when Jesus said, whatever you ask, believe you have received them. I've explained to you that Jesus didn't actually give believe as a commandment, but he gave it as what? A condition. What he was saying is that if you can believe, if it is possible for you to come to a position of settling in your heart that it is possible for an immigrant to become an American president, you most certainly have it. The problem is that generally for an average person, in fact, let me tell you, as for every human being, that kind of dream is impossible except God were to give you a revelation. You know why? Because American Constitution as of today states clearly that except you were born an American, you can never be president. No, it's in black and white. No matter how rich and how patriotic you are, once you were not born as an American, that is, if you moved from a foreign country into America 2 days after you were born, you can never be the president. So you see, you don't just wake up and say, I want to believe I'll be the president. Wait. Information is what gives you hope. Do you get my point? So when they give you the information as it is today, you will see that clause that says that only a man who was born as an American citizen can be his president. Therefore, it is impossible. Now, this is not banking, you are preaching unbelief. It is impossible for you to believe you'll be the American president one day, except God interposes with another piece of information. Now, you understand what I mean by if you can believe. It's not just about wild dreaming. It's about believing. The person who's following this particular course, how will he get that? All he will do is settle down and pray, as an example, and say, God, if you are the one sending me to this land, I don't want to be another non-entity who sweeps gutter today, cleans car tomorrow, and just hustles to make life meet. I want to be a man of purpose, a woman of influence. And God, you know what happens? That suddenly an idea comes. This is where I'm going. For example, you say, look, I am going to be, say, Walmart is a big company. I want to be the second Walmart and beat the first Walmart. Do you understand my point? And then in your mind, you can plot it. Do you get my point? That is, I'm not saying you can arrange it by yourself, but you can imagine the path it will follow. It is easy for you to believe. Now, this is what I'm making. Whatever you can believe, whatever, this is the point I'm making. Jesus Christ concerning him, the disciples came, they were so excited. Wow. Baba, it was not only sick we healed, though. I saw one guy who was blind. I just did like this. The blindness just went away. Then do you know his brother came attacking me? Wow. Okay, I didn't know that guy was demon possessed. I just shouted, in the name of Jesus. Do you know the boy fell down and began to foam? Then I gathered some boldness. I went there like I knew what I was saying. I said, right now I command you out of him. And the guy convulsed and the spirit went away. Baba, in your name, what did I not do today? And he told them, relax. It's exciting you. I need to happen exactly like that. Because I was sitting down and I was watching. And Satan was falling. It is not possible. I have reached there. Do you get my point? I have reached the place. I saw it happen. He can't deceive me. He can't deceive me. He can't refuse to go away. I was a witness. I saw him fall. Do you get the point I'm making? It is not possible for him to refuse to go. Because I saw him fall. Anyone that does not see him fall, the Satan won't shift for him. Do you get the point I'm making? He won't shift. He won't move. He won't move. Because, you know, I was writing one of the books I was telling you about that's coming out shortly. That look, when we say the devil is a liar, we don't mean that Satan will come and say, hey, Olisemeka, did you know that Chukwuebuke is actually a girl? He's not foolish. He doesn't tell that kind of lies. He said, the devil is a liar. Hey, did you know that this place where we are is actually ground floor? You know, Satan is all you will do. Just go out, open the window, check your three floors up, and you forget him. So, the devil being a liar is not a factual problem. Then it's not a matter of presentation of facts. It's a matter of the interpretations thereof. Do you get the point I'm making? For example, you say, look at the sky. Look at the calamity coming. It's not a lie. We can see it. He says, so, boy, you are going to die. He says, that one, you made a mistake. Jesus said, when I see this, he said, I should lift up my head and rejoice because my redemption is near. I'm talking about lying and truth. The lie, all right, or the truth, is not the physical things you can see. They are the spiritual substances behind. And this is the point. If you believe a lie, in your case, the lie will become fact. Do you get the point I'm making? That's what Satan does. If you believe a lie, in your case, the lie will become a fact. But if you believe the truth, what is truth? Truth is whatever principle you are operating by that agrees with God. Are you getting the principle? So what do I mean by believing a lie? So Satan tells the man, I have not fallen down from anywhere. Since you cannot open the window to check the fact. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? It's a matter of spiritual truth. He says, I'm still enthroned. Look at that man. I crippled him. Look at that man. I blinded him. Who told you I have lost my power? I don't know whether you're getting the point. If you ever watch Kaman, the video of this track, The Witch's Invitation, about one man called Isaac Horowitz, I think it's a true story, that invited him to his house, wanted to challenge him. The guy said, I'm a male witch, a warlock. I want to show you what I can do. He showed him newspaper clippings, newspaper. A man who died suddenly, he said, that man, I killed him. His auntie paid me to kill him with AIDS. I killed him. He showed him another one. He said, this man suddenly got healed. He said, I cured him by performing druid worship. He went one step after the other. For over an hour, I was showing this man the things that he had done with his demon power. At the end, he ended with, what can your God do to compete with this? What am I going to say? Satan can make lie look like fact if you're operating by what? Physical things alone. What he won't tell you is that every one of them had to believe his lie first before he could bring anything into their hearts, into their lives. He did not say each one of them had to walk in a certain level of iniquity before the curse of God gave him power to afflict them. Please, when that book comes out, you should read it. There's one book, one of the ones that are coming out next, titled Acquiring Life by Faith. I subtitled it Turning Hopeless Situations Around. That everything that happens to you in life is a judgment from God. When I say judgment, I don't say you sin and God is angry. I mean God presides over the verdict. Satan comes with accusations, all right? And then Jesus is there with, you know, pleading on your behalf. What triumphs is the verdict based upon what your accusers and your defenders say. And the most effectual accuser or defender is who? Yourself. No matter what Jesus is saying, once you open your mouth and say what Satan is saying, God said, as you have said in my hearing, so I will do to you. Now, what he didn't say is that these people had nobody pleading for mercy on their behalf. What he did not explain is that their sin and iniquity was not washed away by faith in the blood of Jesus. That as far as they are concerned, maybe he had power. That is, he was able to convert a lie into fact in the lives of those who believed him. Are you getting what I'm saying? But for the man who will not believe him, then you will discover the truth that indeed Satan fell. We watched him fall. We saw him fall. In fact, the fact that Jesus rose again from the dead is proof that Satan fell. Do you get the point I'm making? That is, if Satan did not fall, Jesus could not have risen from the dead. That is a matter of fact. You know, sometimes I hear Christians talk. I heard that there's one witch somewhere. Believe me, are there witches? They're all over the world. They're in Nigeria. They're in America. Witchcraft is not a sign of underdevelopment. Some of the most developed men on earth are in covens. It's a matter of fact. It's a matter of fact. As a matter of fact, they still go out at midnight to go and put sacrifices at junctions. It's a matter of fact. There's a book in my house right now. I bought it many years ago. I saw it as I reading it again. Titled From Witchcraft to Christ. It's a woman, a British woman, who never came near the shores of Africa. Yet she was a real witch. So we're not saying that the facts are not there. We are saying that all the witches and all their masters, they fell together. Do you get my point? And as one in Christ Jesus, as far as I am concerned, they are far below where I'm standing. Therefore, as witches are dancing in the center of the road, I will get a horn. Please excuse me. Don't pass there. They've already danced over this last 100 meters. That is where the problem will begin. When I start avoiding where they danced over. Because I now think that they left something there. I said, all they've done is gymnastics. Do you understand what I'm going to say? What I'm going to explain, the perspective with which I'm using, which actually gives me authority over all their powers, is the fact that I understand that Satan fell. Do you get the point I'm making? It's because I understand that the prince of this world may come, but he has nothing to hold in me. Therefore, they say, they dance over. You just drive past like, I can't ever forget that testimony of the prince. He was casting out an evil spirit from a woman who had a familiar spirit. And suddenly she had a vision and she said, I saw you in a red car wrapped up against a tree. That is, she saw a vision that a man had an accident and he died in the car. And very calmly, the Englishman that he was, the prince said, well, actually, what happened is that you saw the plan of the devil for my life. But I don't walk in the devil's plan. I walk in the plan of God. He did not at one moment rebuke the spirit for sin. Do you understand my point? That is, what you saw is a lie. That I have discovered something and you are not looking in that direction. And that one which I have seen is what gives me authority over the ones you are seeing. There's what the Bible calls hope that triumphs over hope. It said against hope, he believed in hope. That is, before there was information which were facts. This woman is old. She's past menopause. She can't be anymore. And as a matter of fact, everything was correct. Except that one day Abraham turned and then he saw something new. What did he see? The vision of God. Which says that a father of many nations I have made thee. That Sarah thy wife will indeed bear you a son. He said, for that reason I changed your name. So that we'll be able to put our vision before our eyes. From now on, you'll no longer be Abraham. You'll be Abraham. You know, I said something to us before. That, you know, he said that Jacob. When Jacob had been in the house of Laban for a while, a time came he wanted to collect his wages. If they beget speckled and spotted, they are yours. The guy said, smarty. Let me explain that thing to you again. The man said, smart. He went and cut the poplar trees, put them there, striped them and speckled them. People say that the sheep, they were beyond the trees as they were mating. Who tell you say sheep, they see tree? It wasn't the sheep who was beholding. It was Jacob that was beholding as they were mating. What did he cut? Listen to me. This is a matter of fact. Spiritually, he had seen in a vision that when these animals mate, they will beget whatever it is that will belong to Jacob. Now, get my point. He has seen that now to keep the vision before his own eyes, not the eyes of the sheep. Because listen, the spirit of a man is what controls the things around him. How the animals produce depends on what is coming out of Jacob's spirit, not the animals themselves. I have looked around enough on this earth, just this my short days of life, to know that there is no company on earth that collapses without something wrong coming out of the heart of the CEO. That is why they always fire CEOs before companies can turn around. I know what I'm saying. Something is inside the person. So it was the spirit inside Jacob that was affecting the genes of the animals. So to keep the spirit strong, he had to keep the vision strong. So to keep the vision strong, that's why, if you have any idea of where you are going in life, draw it, paint it, and put it on the wall of your house. Let me tell you something. Even when you are not looking, it's affecting you. Believe me, even when you are not consciously looking and saying that maybe you're a businessman, you want to build a very big company, even when you are not consciously sitting down and thinking about, no, just maybe one day you log onto one website and you saw the largest steel, industry in the world, and they have this panoramic view. Download the photo, print it full size of the one on the wall, and stick it up there and be watching. Do you get the point I'm making? If in your heart you are an educationist, they've been telling you about Yale, Harvard. Then one day you see photos of their campuses. Print them, laminate them, or glaze them, whatever you have to do, put it all over your house. Even when you are not consciously staring at them, it's affecting your spirit. And what is coming out from your spirit is affecting your environment. You know something I said the other time, when we read from Isaiah chapter 40? That he said that all flesh is grass, and the greenness thereof are like flowers of the field. He said the grass without the flower fades. When what happens? When the breath of God. I said that breath of God, it was referring to natural wind. Listen, that is, the grass will wither depending on the kind of wind that is blowing. But spiritually, he said all flesh is grass. That is, fleshly matters, all right, respond to how the spirit of God is blowing. No, get what I'm saying? That is, if inside you, the blessing of God is radiating as a strong spirit, they will change the laws of a nation to make your visions come to pass. That is why, if laws change right now against what you plan, don't remove the plan from the wall. Don't. Because the wind bloweth where it listeth, and no one knoweth whither it goeth or whither it cometh. I like that King James expression. And he says, so is everyone that is born of the Spirit of God. That is, relaxed. The wind will soon change direction. Listen, all Satan tries to do, don't forget what I said about David, about Jacob. You know, let me tell you one of the reasons why Jacob had to do that. Jacob will get there. They say, spotted ones are your own. And all the animals mating, they are smooth. You will lose faith. I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. You will lose faith. If you be Jacob, your faith will... You will see the faith get up. Mount up with wings and boom, fly through the window. Do you get my point? So you know what he did? He said, thank you, animals. I don't go look in her skin. He made his own skin to look at. You get the point I'm making? Oh, why did I get here? I'm talking about divine authority. That Jesus said, look, you guys are excited. Okay, I understand. You have not seen anything yet. But I that have seen, it doesn't excite me. You know, the first time I preached in my church in Edugo here, House on the Rock, after the service, many people came and said, this man looking at them. Why are they shouting? No, as God is my witness, that was always my heart. What's all the shout about? Told me this was not the first time I was preaching. This is not the first time I'm preaching and the house will catch fire. This is what is exciting these people. I don't know whether you get what I'm trying to say. People are like, this man. Because I used to wear agbada and come to church and sit down. Why you look, like Yoruba man has to say, that a man you have never seen, you can't tell him he lost weight or he gained weight. You've never known him. And you get what I'm trying to say. So I said, what, tell me, what's exciting these people? Oh, okay, finally you heard me preach today. I should start telling you stories where I preached. And the first place, I remember one church I went to, one Redeemed Church in Lagos. They were doing youth program. Now, I'm still a fine young man, you know what I'm saying? So imagine how fine and young I was about 11 years ago. Yeah, you can imagine. Now that they are doing youth program, so the guy said that, we know they wanted a youth man to come and preach. So they knew one youth somewhere, a youth that could preach. When the president of the youth club, of the church came to visit me, because the secretary is the one who knew me from campus. When he saw me, I knew that even he lost faith. He looked at, no, I knew. There's a way a man would behave, that faith, there's no faith in his soul at all. No, look at me now, look. Just remove 11 years from this guy you are seeing. 11 complete years, old. The guy, look. My God. Of course, at that time, they are written my name on the program. They have publicized the program. That one youth is coming from somewhere to come and preach. When I read that, they wear a waistcoat. A monkey jacket. To complicate everything. Hey! I didn't have a proper jacket. That was the major reason anyway. Ha! So the guy was, when it's time to come, I went in, carried the microphone. Cut the long story short. It's not me, it's the anointing of God. When I finish making altar call, when you make altar call and you see old women and people who have problems, no. Young men ran to the front to come and give their life to Christ. The same guy, he came, he said, hey, thank you very much, sir. Thank you, sir. Thank you very much, sir. He was shaking my hand with vigor. I wanted to cut it off from the elbow. That's the president of the youth. So, after all things that I now gave to Enugu, one day I prayed. He was this man, he didn't tell us to go preach. I said, yes, it's exciting. I have killed Goliath in the past. I have killed bear, I have killed lion. This is not even a Goliath. Just one tall, tough Philistine you put in front of me. I threw him down and I shouted. Now, what am I going to explain? That's exactly how Jesus reacted. People were so excited. Wow. Check out the anointing. He said, the problem is that you guys haven't seen what I have seen. Do you get my point? Listen, I told you something before. Authority is not how much you shout. See a tall, big man who stands in front of a bank trying to wave cars to stop so that his customer can come out. If your mind of your drive-by, no matter how much you shout, stop, stop now. But if one small traffic warden comes out and just does his hand up like this, you press your brake instantly. You've seen his uniform. You are getting the point I'm making. He has the authority. That's what I'm trying to explain. It's not the amount of shout. If you like, don't sleep. If you haven't seen nothing, you have not seen anything. It's not how long you spent awake all night. I said that prayer that's not preceded by vision is actually very weak in faith. Daniel was able to move God because he read the book of Jeremiah. I, Daniel, understood when I read the books, the number of the years that the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah that he will accomplish in the desolation of Jerusalem. Namely, 70 years. This is the 69th year? Or the 70th year? He said no. He began to pray. He prayed with authority because of what he had seen. Do you get the point I'm making? Jesus will preach. And they will say he was talking as one having authority. Not like one of those scribes. You know why? He has seen the mind of God. He understood how God worked. I remember those days when we were young medical students. You've read something in the book that's supposed to be done. The guy will go there and say, don't bother about that. Don't do this one. Looking at yourself, why didn't this man do that according to the books? Because after many years of practicing, there are things that he has seen that the book is not reflecting to people like us yet. So confidently he breaks the rules that you think are sacrosanct. That's the way it was with Jesus Christ. He said, on Sabbath day, you are healing the sick. His kindness pilot on the Sabbath day. How can you say that? He understood the meaning of the word Sabbath. He read Moses, but he didn't have to read Moses to understand Sabbath. He knew that Sabbath was in operation before Moses was born. And he understood that when people like Jacob would tell the Lord that, look, if you will bless me, 10% of everything you will bless me with, I will give back to you. You know, I asked you this question one day. Did Jacob meet any Melchizedek on his way back to Bethel? Did he? There was no Melchizedek. So how did he fulfill his vow to God? I will tell you. He took, of all those animals he had, he took one out of every 10, killed them and put fire on them, burnt them to ashes. To show that I did not get this thing by my strength. So he wasted 10% as a Sabbath unto God. You don't get the principle. That Jesus understood that Sabbath was to give men rest, not to keep them in affliction. So if a man is sick and it's on Sabbath day we can free him, he got to be free. Because he's working against the Sabbath, being sick on the Sabbath day. Yes, you're supposed to be at rest. You're supposed to be at peace. You're supposed to be enjoying the blessings of God. Why are you in pain on a Sabbath day? Do you get my point? He has seen God. That's what it means to see God, though, my brethren. It's not to have a vision.
And then an angel came in the sky. And he said, my son.
Look, if you drink, you can see visions. That's not what we're talking about. No. I've seen all kinds of religions founded upon one crazy vision that they saw. You see what they are practicing. It has not brought the life of God onto the earth. They haven't seen nothing. If I say this, it makes some of you laugh. If you're ever a Catholic, I always laugh about those Catholic apparitions. I said, how come it's only Mary that shows her face? Where are all the other angels in heaven and even Jesus Christ himself? Once you see Catholics going for a particular place, I say, hey, Mary has come again. Now, this is what I'm making. How has that vision increased your understanding of God? Not. The last time I went home, my mother is a Catholic, so there's this hill we used to climb when we were children. They call it Okay Maria, that is Maria's Hill. Very tall, there's one giant statue at the top. So recently I asked, what happened, Zev? What happened there? They said, okay, there was one reverend father. Mary appeared to him, maybe about 40 years ago. I told my mother, I'm beginning to suspect some of these visions. Because only the mother, I said, you now build entourage around it. What am I going to explain? Vision, the vision of God is not the supernatural being that appeared. Is the understanding of the personality of God that becomes clear to you. Listen to me. That's what gives you what? Authority. Please let me summarize. My time is far gone. Take our country, Nigeria, as an example. You know, I started something. We read from Isaiah chapter 2, right? And I ended up not saying anything about it. We'll continue again from there next time. What I wanted to bring out is that he said that out of Zion, we go for the law. And the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. That's the point I wanted to bring out. That based on what we have seen and what we have come to understand, we will start walking in a different manner that will show the world how to walk and genuinely get results. You know what's interesting about Christians? No, you must see that Satan has fallen. You must start life by understanding something. You can never fail. I don't know whether you heard me. You must start life with an understanding, which is what? I can never fail. I can never fail. It must be settled inside your heart that I can never fail. Then so you will never, maybe one day they said, you see one beautiful investment that God gives you understanding on how to handle. And they say, you can be wiped out. They say, wait, I can never fail. I don't know whether you get the point. I know I can lose money, but for every naira I lose, it will be multiplied back. These are spiritual seeds. I can never fail. Do you know the man who knows he can never fail does things differently? The man who knows that he is a winner, that he has won, he has succeeded, he does things differently. There is one thing that is not inside his heart is fear. And if you are not afraid, you will be amazed at how the kind of Goliaths you will bring down in life. No, no, hear that too. If you are not afraid, that is, let me give an example. You enter battle, there are 10,000 Goliaths, and you are just one David. And this is, maybe today is the 22nd of March, 2008. And God had told you clearly that there's a place he wants you to be. All right? So you are sure you are not going to die today.
Do you get the point I'm making?
You are absolutely certain you are not dying today. You know how many Goliaths will die if they don't run? Exactly 10,000. Because, you know, this guy is not going to die. You are sure of that. Therefore, every step necessary, you will take it. Oh, I don't know what I'm saying is hitting your heart. I used to say those days when they say, country's hard, run abroad, do this, do that, do that. There's one scripture that never left my heart. Behold, I cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. I never doubted it. Behold, I cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. I was going to leave Lagos to come to Enugu. They say, why are you leaving Lagos? The opportunities are in Lagos. I say, you don't get the point. Behold, I cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. Anywhere I go, it will flow. That is why if God leads me by one interesting way to relocate, leave Enugu, and go to Abakiliki, you just heard that Pastor Banky is now lives in Abakiliki. Do you get the point? Because I don't go to lands that blossom. Lands blossom for my sake. The here I have come, they open up the wells. That's the way it works. With that kind of understanding, listen, you will walk with God fearlessly. And if you are walking with God fearlessly, believe me, you will kill Goliath until you are tired of Goliath. So the amount of authority you are able to exercise is tied to what you have seen. That's all I'm saying. I hope you understood my point. Let us pray.